And another thing. I'm James, with me's Robert.
Hello.
You're listening to us on kpcradio.com. Thanks for joining us again for another great episode. Hope you enjoyed the state episode, the bonus show that we had. If you haven't, we had a little special 30-minute show last Monday while we were figuring out our schedule. We had fun with that, didn't we, Robert?
Yeah, I think I'm going to change my address now.
Well,
too many death threats.
Well, depending on where that address is, I already changed it for you. That was the point of the episode, right?
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
All right. So today we're going to talk about the real thing there, not just Coca-Cola. We're going to talk about everything that people say. You know what's real food is? What, you know what makes real music? A real man. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, people, I do.
When
I
they
hear
just
got to
give
the
them their opinion as if their opinion, one, matters, and two, is correct. You know these type of people I'm talking about.
I see them every day. I talk to them. I'm probably guilty of it.
Oh, too. We all are. I mean, like last Monday, I was making what the real America should be, right?
Right. Yeah,
so
that's
was,
true.
But I was actually aware of it and using humor, so that's what we're going to try to probably a little lighthearted today, point out how people are just being arrogant. Let's try to knock some walls down today. We're going to start with art. Now, we're not going to spend too much time on it. Why am I starting with art? Because Robert was talking to me earlier about some of these ideas, and it was so funny to see him get angry. Because Robert's this guy who's like always smiling like he is right now. And you're just,
that doesn't that requires a qualification.
But does it?
That does not mean I'm always happy or in a good mood.
Yeah, but you're still one of the
But there's a lot of, there are a lot of things that people do that are funny. I behave in an absurd way.
Yes,
so I
true.
Find my own absurdity
funny. You are
funny.
On a show with me, so that's absurd.
Right, so it's not like, hey, I'm always... No. It could be that I'm coming up with a joke to fit the scenario
you got,
that we're
like,
in.
Angry. So let's just jump right into what real art is that got him angry. I love it. All right. What happened?
What happened with what?
Tell me that art story when you were reading the article and it pissed you off.
Oh, about music.
Oh, it was music. I said the wrong thing.
Well, music is art.
Yeah, sure. I'll cover my tracks that way. I was right.
Music is art. See, now he could say, no, it's not real art.
No, it's not real
because
art.
Because it's not no. And then he'll really piss me off.
Yeah, but a real host would have known what topic to talk about first. So,
all right. Oh,
I'm not a real host.
No, anymore. Okay. I thought you were throwing shots at me. See what you've done? I always think you're attacking me now.
All right, so it's music. You read an article that pissed you off about real music.
It wasn't an article. It was an essay about about popular music versus intellectual music. This is something I read in a philosophy class years ago, and we had a long discussion about it. It was a philosophy of art class. We talked about music from Theodor Adorno. He was a German philosopher and I believe he was an art theorist as well.
An art theorist, not a critic.
I don't know if when I read his bio, it did not say anything about being an official critic, but
that doesn't matter. What did he say about
he was
the
a
music?
Philosopher.
Let's get to that.
He said he made an argument in his essay called On the Fetish Character in Music and the Regression of Listening.
I love it already.
Wow. I'm going to water this down because this was a very intelligent man and I'm not even up to that part. But I'll try to get as far as I can with it. He basically argued about music from a Marxist standpoint, that music, popular music, was sort of the opiate of the masses. And that when...
Makes believers out of us.
It numbs you so much that you don't do anything about politics or society and life. But intellectual music, music from Beethoven and Chopin and people like that, that's music that actually speaks, it sort of evokes that fighting spirit, the resisting spirit against the establishment or whatnot. And he basically said anything that was sort of pre-recorded or arranged to fit a certain scale was...
Constructed music.
Yeah, constructed, and that it was detrimental to the minds of the youth in that time because it just made you passive. And that this is music that should be avoided. And of course, he threw in... At the time, he lived until 1969, I believe.
Okay.
So at the time, he was hearing classical music, jazz music, classic rock.
And it was all sucks to him. All makes us passive.
It seems like when you read the essay, I don't want to assume anything here because I'm sure there is some greater thinker out there, some scholar a professor who can actually clarify and who's done a dissertation on this man and who can probably explain this better. But it seems like he's saying that all music that he mentioned, aside from classical music, is kind of horrible for your brain.
Of
and
course.
I thought that was extremely absurd
and arrogant.
Yeah, and it drove me off the wall because, first of all, when you think about music, when for example, jazz music. I know you're not a fan, but I'm a fan. I know the history of it. Mm-hmm. I know the culture, how it developed. When blacks played jazz music, they were living in the South. They were putting the blues. They were putting their lives into that music. Uh-huh. When they were improvising, mm-hmm. they were dealing with their situation.
Yeah, boring,
and some of the blues songs that they played was the best way for them to resist.
Boring.
I know you don't listen to jazz.
I hate jazz.
But they improvised. They changed scales. They added their own taste because that was their way of kind of sending a message, like dealing with the problem. Punk music evoked a certain resistance out of the youth culture. So did hip hop.
Yeah.
And it made people socially conscious of certain things like social constructs, like gender problems, black problems or societal problems. It made people conscious of it. So there is music out there that, according to Adorno, would be arranged, but that can evoke a certain active spirit in somebody. But that's not, I'm not concerned about that as much. I believe that you listen to music because it's an art form. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel a certain way. The sounds are arranged in a way that the vibrations make you feel something.
Yeah.
When we use a Marxist or Freudian philosophy to analyze music, I think we're missing the point.
Kind of like when you use a sociological point of view and try to say that blacks were being cathartic and punk rock was raising awareness. Because that sounds as ridiculous to me as anything.
No, it could raise awareness.
Oh, I'm sure it could.
When somebody listens to a song, when somebody listens to a hip-hop song or watches even a movie about like kids who sell drugs on the street, the seed can be planted. That doesn't mean that's its main function.
No.
And that doesn't mean that should be its main function. The point is that there are people who are artists who make the music because at first it makes them feel a certain way. The secondary function could be the political function, but they don't have control over that. And a lot of artists could be trying to send a message. Somebody could be Bob Dylan could sing a song because he's trying to tell you something about capitalism or communism. Mm-hmm. But it feels like that at first Bob Dylan played those notes and that he felt a certain something. And that's why he played that song. And I think that is what music should be about first. Overdoing it ruins the whole thing. You could analyze
it. Overdoing it.
I'm just angry about it. Because you could analyze it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to analyze it right now.
You could analyze music from whichever point of view you want.
I'm going to analyze all music biologically. So
there you go.
Humans have a certain range we can hear sound, just like we have a certain range of light that we can see. We can't see radio waves. We can see visible light waves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we actually have a really short range of sound that we can hear. So if you consider all the different species on the planet, you have to admit that all human music is garbage.
No.
It's all garbage.
No, I can't.
Every part of it. Just ask a dog or a bear.
That's completely idiotic.
That's completely idiotic. It's so arbitrarily specific to a person that it's just, I mean, you can't even say it's just pretty. It's just an air molecule knocking around.
That's nonsense. That's complete nonsense.
Yeah, this is why I like getting Robert angry.
It's garbage.
So all right, we're gonna go to I want to use the comic because the comic express is great.
No,
I'm a real host.
We're the co-host. You are saying you are looking at you have never stepped inside the brain of an animal.
I am an animal.
I know. But the idiot species that you've never stepped inside the brain of a dog.
You've heard
music that you like. Yeah, you're saying it's the most, it's the worst.
I can actually prove it to you objectively, too. Take any song that you like, and you put it on a synthesizer, and just take out half the tracks. That's what your music would sound like to a dog. Stupid.
Who gives a damn? Who cares what a dog can hear?
That's my point. I forget what comedian said it.
It's about like, you.
When someone argues about real music and what's good music, they're saying, hey, the vibrations you listen to are stupid. You listen to my vibrations.
Yeah, I mean, it's about you. It's about what you like.
I know, and that's what this comic is about. Saturday Morning Breakfast.
Come on.
A great
webcomic. You got me started up.
I know, I love it. And he he put this comic up here. It's two people arguing about music. It's what you hear in every conversation with someone over 25. Robert, you're about there right now.
I'm 25. I'm exactly there.
And here's a guy, and the guy is in a cafe, and he's saying, "I hate what teens listen to. Pop music peaked at the exact moment when I was most emotionally vulnerable to trite love songs."
Wow.
That just cracks me up because it's so true. I've heard so many people say, oh, the Beatles was great music. And, of course, their parents hated
it. It's great. It is great.
And, no, the Beatles stink.
The Beatles
okay.
Is great.
No, they stink.
It's great
they're
music.
Not real, they're not real musicians.
Listen to the melody. Stop attaching stupid politics
they're
to it.
I don't care about politics
it
at all.
It seems like you're making a political statement.
No, the melodies, the Beatles music, their music, not just their words, but their words too, makes me want to punch people in the face.
The music.
That's just
the
what
music
it does.
Itself. So not the fact that they marketed themselves a certain way.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All I'm talking about is those vibrations in the sound. They
you don't
hit
like
my
those.
Eardrum and they make my fist want to go into faces.
Okay, that's fine. That's okay. That's the scope though.
Yes, that's the,
you're not.
I'm not saying it sucks for everybody. It's just saying when I listen to the Beatles, I want to punch people.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Of course, I listen to heavy metal. And that relaxes me like a day at the beach.
It relaxes you?
Oh, yeah.
There are some heavy metal songs that are great, but that they make me go
I know,
off the wall.
They I hear those angry, dun, 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 and I'm like, oh, yeah, now I can think. Clearly, finally.
But it's not, that's I think I'm fine with that. Even though we're getting a reaction from our
producer
who's just like, are you kidding me? But if you're talking about just the music, I think that's great. But if you're saying, oh, it's because they sold too many albums.
I'm not like that.
Okay.
But I do hate their music, their lyrics too, if that's what you wanted to get to. They're like, all you need is love. Yeah, tell that to your landlord. You do not only need love. I mean, that's not even true, like, literally, in a relationship. Because if all you need is love, there's a word for that. That's called stalking.
Oh,
you
kind of
need reciprocity too.
You know what? You do make a hilarious point, but I have a feeling. I thought we were going to get hate mail for for the States. Oh my goodness! Are we?
Yeah, everyone hates that I hate the Beatles.
But
like,
what was your? You were getting somewhere.
Oh,
with
let's move on to another topic.
Okay,
we got a bunch
great.
To cover. So we did music. Should we touch on sports next? What's
sure.
a real sport?
Oh goodness!
All right, so we're going to start out with an excerpt from the movie Big with Tom Hanks by Penny Marshall, and he's explaining. If you don't
great
know,
movie.
Because I know most people don't know, you didn't know Tom Hanks did comedies.
No, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
No, I grew up watching his comedies.
I forget who said it. That was my coworker. That's right.
No,
my co-host. My coworker. He said he didn't know Tom Hanks did comedies.
Oh, he did great.
That
was
like listening
was
to a Beatles song.
Comedies.
I just wanted to punch faces when I heard that. So anyways, Big, it's about a kid who becomes an adult overnight.
Yeah.
We all know the stories. There's like 50 of these movies, but Big is like the best one. Quote, best one. And so he's explaining... While he's going out to play a handball or racquetball, you ever play this game?
Yes.
It's like tennis, but with a wall, and two people are on opposite sides. It hard hurts, yeah. All right, so here Josh is talking to Paul, and what he says here, share this mic with me. We're gonna do this little,
okay.
This little skit here. All right, so they're walking out to the ball, to the court there. Josh says, I'm not very good at sports, but I'll give it a try. My best sport is video hockey.
That isn't a sport.
Well, it takes hand-to-eye coordination.
It's not a sport if you don't sweat.
What about golf? You don't sweat and that's a sport.
Yeah, and you're not sitting there letting some machine do all the work.
What about car racing?
Ah, shut up, basketball.
Is that exactly the point? Anytime you can come up with something that's real, there's always going to be some example somewhere that just takes your definition of real and just flushes it down the toilet.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's completely useless.
And now there's another quote I like, which was by Sam Harris. He's a neuroscientist and philosopher. And he was talking about religion was the point of his. How the word religion means almost nothing considering the range that it actually goes over, just like sports. He says, now MMA, mixed martial arts, is a sport, but so is badminton. And there's nothing in common between those two at all other than people do it. So if badminton and MMA can be both sports, that's exactly how meaningless religion is. And for our point here, that's how meaningless real is. So, I mean, how can you say something's a real sport?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you can because every time somebody describes to you what
right.
a real sport is.
Right, and I'm going to do it too. So
yeah.
I'm going to describe my real sport and you can just take it apart.
Okay.
My problem with most, quote, major sports in the country, football, baseball, hockey,
uh-oh.
All that stuff, is because it's so arbitrary, right? Like, why did we suddenly choose football to be our sport or baseball?
I have no idea.
There's nothing in nature. You know, bees don't play baseball. You know, roaches don't play football. They're just some rules some guy sat down with and said, 9 innings, why not? Who knows why he picked 9 innings or 100 yards or whatever. So the only real sport is one that's based in reality, the one that has an objective winner, martial arts.
Wow.
Martial arts. You know, who's the winner in martial arts? Well, it's the guy still standing. That's pretty easy. No.
But what if he thinks he's gained a moral victory by...
Well, what does morals have to do with this? We're talking about sports. There's no morals in it.
Can't you tell that somebody's won and lost in football and basketball?
If someone's keeping score.
But aren't you keeping score
okay,
in
how about this?
Arts?
How about basketball, right? It's like 90 minutes, 45 minutes?
It's a 48-minute game.
Yeah, sure it is. It's always like 3 hours. That's another thing I hate about sports.
Well, because it's TV commercials.
Anyways.
Yeah.
All right, so they're playing for, quote, 48 minutes, and they get up to scores of like 105 to 103. Ooh,
yeah.
What a game. Dude, just make it half an hour and make the score go up to 50. What did those extra 50 points actually accomplish? You see, when the score is that big, why do you need to go for so long? Just play for 10 minutes and see who goes to 20 points first. Yeah, you can't answer
because
it's arbitrary.
No, because, I mean, well, of course it's arbitrary.
Yeah.
But that's the rule that they've set is that you guys play.
Yeah, that's the rule that they've set. Who's they?
I don't know the people who
there are none of these questions for martial arts. Like, well, why is the guy who's unconscious the loser? Because he ain't fighting anymore.
They don't always go unconscious.
Well, if it's a good match, they will.
In MMA, oh, well, okay, then he's rooting for head injuries. But that
it's not a head injury all the time.
But I know. But in MMA, a lot of these guys don't even get knocked out sometimes.
I know.
The judges do points,
ones.
Right? They do points.
Well, most of the time it's submission things now, so if you tap out.
Right.
I hate those matches. Those
but even in boxing, they do a point system. Everything. In ice figure skating, point system.
Yeah.
In snowboarding, oh, did he land this and land that?
Oh, God, that was a good example you just gave. They're snowboarding, boxing, and figure skating, all sports. What would possibly be the definition of sport with all those activities
they're
included?
They're all sports.
Let's just do that.
And you compete in front of a crowd or something.
You don't sweat in golf. That was part of the big skill.
You exert yourself.
Of course, I lived in Florida. I know there's lots of golf courses. You sweat doing like any. You just open your windows in Florida and you sweat.
Make that a sport.
You're opening windows in Florida. You just open the windows, see how long you can stand there before the moisture just knocks you off your feet.
What about that the winter Olympic sport? What is it called when they scrub the ice?
Curling.
Curling. Thank you. Okay, some people say that's not a sport. I'm open-minded. I like letting that be a sport.
It looks like competitive, cleaning.
Well.
It looks like your butlers got together.
Oh my
and just
gosh,
said, who can scrub
good.
This floor the fastest?
That's good. I like that one.
I don't know.
I like that.
That's just what I mean. It can be a sport. Anything can be a sport. I mean, in South Korea, they have StarCraft tournaments.
Everything, I guess, in sports, it's always the main rule is that two entities have to compete.
This
for
is
something
how,
they have to push each other to the highest level to get the prize.
Highest level, right? The champion quote, right?
Yeah.
This is how I actually define a sport. It's any game, and a game is a pretty general term. You know, it's something you do with an objective and
Monopoly is a game.
Yeah. So it's any game at all. Any game at all, which is why StarCraft also goes in this. That is just put into a tournament system. That's all I would define a sport as.
I could actually buy that, totally.
In Mortal Kombat, I used to love that at the arcades, and sometimes we'd do a tournament on it. Bam, that was a sport. For however long that lasted, Mortal Kombat was a sport. That's how I describe it.
You know what?
It doesn't work any other way. There's too many different games. You can't say a sport is this, because then figure skating is not going to fit, or badminton's not going to fit. You know, golf, car racing.
I think you're right. I think that's the best way to put it.
All right, that is the court of and another thing. We have just made a judgment.
Yeah.
Sports. Game and tournaments.
Game and tournaments.
Done. Triple stamp it.
Wait.
Uh-oh. You found a hole?
If you're playing with friends and you're not in a tournament.
Well, then that's just a game. Monopoly at home with your friends.
But
just
it's
a game.
Game involving a defined a sport. Right.
Well, we're why playing... is it, that the sport is the tournament thing? So, if I play Monopoly with you at home, we're just playing a game. We're just friends hanging out playing a game.
We're mimicking something that was a sport on TV. I guess.
No, the sport comes later. That's the point. You can't have a sport without a game, but you can have games without
sports. So we could say that we're just playing a game then.
Which is actually funny because why I don't know if bowling is a sport, because whenever people bowl against each other, I always go, "No, you're not. You could literally do that 5,000 miles apart and on different... Maybe you could do it on different planets. There's no literal reason for them to be next to each other
but,
in bowling.
But the tournament. They have a tournament.
Yeah, but that's my point. Is they don't have to do it at the same time. Like, I could have a tournament in bowling with you 5 years from now. I'll bowl today, you bowl in 5 years, and we'll see who wins. There's literally no interaction at all. And yeah, now some people will say, oh, James, there's a big interaction because when you keep... Because when you actually bowl in a tournament, the lanes, the wax in the floor actually starts to have grooves in it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to like make the grooves. And to me personally, that's the lamest excuse I've ever heard for a sport in my life.
What, to make the grooves?
No, to consider that interaction between people.
Well, I guess you could say that golfing.
Yeah, golf's another one. You don't have to have.
Yeah, the only reason you think you're losing is because somebody else is behind you saying, "Hey, we were supposed to get this hole in 5 tries. You got it in 10.
Yes.
So
that's my personal addendum there to sport, is that there should be some type of interaction between the players. Otherwise, there's no reason at all for you to be there at the same time.
I'm just going to go ahead and embrace anarchy and let everything be.
Everything's a sport?
Opening windows.
We're
Let's
playing a sport
it.
Right now.
We're playing a sport. I am moving my
arm. I'm winning right now. I am winning this radio show.
Yeah, he's it's – no, it's arbitrary.
Nick is the referee.
It's arbitrary. I'm. What if I say I'm winning because I've spoken less?
Yeah, but you can't be winning because I already said I'm winning, and that's contradictory. So, Talladega Knight's logic there.
I don't perceive time very well. I don't perceive there is no time.
You don't perceive time?
No, you did not say that before.
Okay, so I'm going to punch you in the face, and then say, "Hey, why'd you punch me in the face?" I said, "When did I do
remember.
That?" And he'll say, "I don't know.
I don't perceive
There's
time.
There's no time, so I just know
it didn't happen."
All right, let's tackle another one. Should we do a serious one?
Okay.
No, we're not going to be that serious. It is a serious topic, but we're not going to be serious about it, all right? Let's talk about real men and real women.
Oh, no.
Which one should we do first?
Go with real men first.
Let's do... All right, what makes a real man?
Nothing.
Manly man. Have you ever been called not a real man?
Yeah, every day.
Why? Every day? Like, literally?
No, but...
That's harsh.
But
Stop
I...
Stop hanging out with him.
But it's something that I've gotten used to. This is what a real man does. What is a real man?
Give me an example. A real man would have specific examples, Robert.
A real man knows everything there is to know about cars.
Oh, that's a good one, because
I don't know anything about cars. I rely on my friends to help me with
the cars. Yeah, I'm saying I just take it to Firestone or wherever, or if I have a Toyota now, I make sure I lease a new one. So I just take it to them. They say, "What's wrong?" I say, "I don't know. I just have a contract here that says you're going to fix it."
Yeah, I
don't care.
My friends my car enthusiast friends are always bagging on me for that, and I like cars. I like.
Oh, I love cars too. I don't want to fix them.
I don't know how to fix them, and I don't know if something's wrong. I'm like, is it the door? No, I'm kidding. But my dad always gives me that look when it comes to changing the oil, which I know how to do some of the basic things. But he's like, shouldn't you know how to do this by now, or like how to fix a door properly, how to put a furniture set together properly? He doesn't even do that well, but. He's given me that look. Some of my friends have given me that look. What do you mean you don't know what this tool does?
Yeah, it's a total cultural stain. It's just one of those things that's been held over from another age.
But the good news is that my dad has a great sense of humor about it, and
we
always joke with him. But some of my other friends are like, how do you – it's this tool is supposed to do that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I never paid attention. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I don't even go that far. I mean, you're like apologizing.
No,
you
no, no. I say it.
I'm saying because I don't care.
I say it in like an absurd way. Like, I'm. Why should I even apologize? But it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
I guess I'll pay attention now.
I mean, I could always just be really arrogant and say, "I'm sorry. I was busy studying nuclear physics."
Oh well, yeah. You
what
could
are you
say
doing?
That. You're doing. He's a physicist. Yeah.
Oh wow, 300 horsepower. You know, rockets get 200,000, right?
I think people always would laugh when I would say, "They're like, what are you doing?" I'm doing schoolwork. What are you studying? Philosophy. And they're like, really?
What a real man study
really?
Philosophy.
Yeah. They're like, what is that going to do? Shouldn't you be doing the mechanic?
We'll get to that when we get to a real
American.
But that's
what I got.
Don't worry. We get to a real American. We'll do that in about 10 minutes.
But that's where I got the real man thing.
That's good. That's a good one. I've heard that one too from my father. But another one I got was actually from a fellow student. And I'm not a real man because my wife works and I don't.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a real
That's horrible.
Yeah. And not only is it just I'm going to school, you know, do you want to get a job? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I won't get a job and she'll just support me, you know.
How could
family
we
or
say
something.
That?
You know, you want to have a woman make more than you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of awesome actually because the best part about that is I don't work. I don't.
There. Look, there's a point in your life. I'm sure you have this every day. You have this sitting next to me when you realize the person next to you or in front of you has not given something much thought. And this happens all the time. Like, somebody says that to you, it's insulting.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's also like, have you ever thought about what these roles even indicate, or if there's any validity or cogency to what society says about what a man should do? It's that drives me nuts. I'm sorry to hear that somebody even said that.
No, it wasn't actually an insult. I mean, I'll be clear. I mean, it was a friend of mine. He wasn't being like mean about it. You're not a real man. He was like concerned. That's kind of, you know how when someone's proselytizing to you, they're either going to have a big sign that says God hates, you know, gay people and you're going to hell, or there's going to be your Christian quote friend who says, aren't you worried about going to hell? You know, they're not being mean about it. He said it concerned. It's like, but aren't you worried you're not going to be a real man?
Oh, okay, I've gotten that.
But, I mean, it's still insulting, but yeah. I'm just trying. He wasn't actually actively insulting me. He just, you know, was bought into that social norms.
What about fighting? I've gotten that.
I'm not a real fighter?
No. Real men are supposed to fight when they're called upon to fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard
like,
heard
if somebody challenges you to a duel, quote-unquote, in today's society, like, hey, let's go outside of a bar, let's wild drunk, and let's throw it down. You're supposed to take the challenge. I know that was more prevalent when I was in high school when people were talking like that.
Yeah.
But I was like, so I'm going to go and do the opposite of what logic would dictate and get my butt kicked, essentially. I'm small and really skinny. And somebody's bigger. I'm supposed to take that person on and be like, yes, at least I fought. And then $2,000 later, a hospital bill. I'm supposed to feel good? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I guess we should just get into fights in Canada then.
What do you mean?
No hospital bill.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come to a surprise to quote, not quote, and anybody. I don't know why I said the word quote there. You know what's messing me up is when I look at you, the walls behind you, because it has that foam padding for anyone who doesn't know. When I look at you and I'm focusing on your face, the padding behind you turns into this weird, blurry illusion.
I'm seeing it right now looking at you.
It's creepy. It's making me say words I don't. Banana. What? Why did I say banana? It's messing with my head. I'm not a real host right now. So I'm sure it'll come to a surprise to no one that in high school I was a nerd. Oh, surprise. And I was a weakling. I was pretty small. And so I wasn't a fighter and I got picked on a little bit. And so I never got into any fights. You know, I got the same stuff there. Why didn't you fight him? Why didn't you stand up for yourself? Blah, 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 blah. One, I was never taught, which honestly I think everyone needs to be taught to defend themselves at least a little bit.
A little bit,
yeah. You can't just expect anyone to just know how to, you know, how to fight. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a big one. You have to defend yourself. You know, they say be the better man and walk away, but that's a real... That's not a macho way to look at it. You know what I mean? The machos will say, no, a real man stands his ground. That's why Florida's a manly, manly state, because they stand their ground there forever. You popcorn in my face, stand your ground. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
that's a state of real men there.
Why don't we just throw out the real? It'll be fine if you just throw... It's like,
because they have to affirm to themselves that they're correct.
Yeah.
That's what all this is about. What's real music? What's what I listen to? Because I am good and you are bad. You know, that. What is real food? Oh, I eat real food. What you guys eat is garbage.
Yeah.
You know,
that, but by
all this real stuff, you can just translate real as what makes me better than you. You can say, what music makes me better than you? What makes me a better man than you? That's what real means in all these conversations.
Yeah, they're just, it's an ego thing.
Yeah.
But by the way, I wanted to say something. We were all nerds. No.
All of us? Like,
no,
you mean in here?
No, in high school. I was a sports nerd. Yeah. I knew a lot about it. It was a cool thing to do.
Yeah, that's the acceptable nerdism.
But you're nerds. We're talking about statistics of shot, like field goals made. And I'm a nerd.
That's actually, no, that's a good point. It's a complete aside, but I always thought it was so funny where someone said, algebra, I don't care what X equals. This is stupid. What about that baseball player? Oh, he got a .35 average over 9 innings with Fowler IBA. What?
How did
you remember all those numbers?
That's one of the reasons why I never really shunned at anybody who was a Magic the Card nerd or a video game. Because all of us have that. Mm-hmm. But you just have to recognize that you're full of BS.
Yeah.
And that your nerdism is not more respectable than somebody else. We're all nerds.
Yeah.
Some of those guys won't admit it, but when they went home, they were car nerds. We're all nerds.
Yeah.
So but people haven't realized it by now. That sucks, but... We're all nerds.
What else makes a real man in our society? Well, it's not just
the job thing you cover.
That's definitely
okay.
Not just the job though, but you have to have like a big professional job that makes a living wage and support a family. That's the point. That was the point he was getting to, right? It's not just that I need. I can't have a woman supporting me because what makes me a real man is the one I'm the provider.
The breadwinner.
Yeah, and actually, I think you've said this a lot. Just because what comes from this is the term "mick job." And you don't like that term at all, like I don't, right?
No.
It's really demeaning to a whole millions of people who just have these jobs because they need to get by.
Yeah, it is. You life, you don't get to, life doesn't always go the way you want to. You need to make ends meet sometimes. Yeah. What do you, so a guy's working three jobs and it happens to be McDonald's and the other ones are at Ralph's and driving a cab. What is he supposed to do?
Yeah. No, a real man doesn't have a McJob, Robert. Those are kid jobs. Your boy jobs. You're a little boy.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to say. And of course, the only people who would ever say that are those ones with an actual what they would consider a real job. So you know, again, it's saying what makes me better than you. That's what real translates into.
I guess, yeah.
And money, the cars, all that machismo stuff. That's exactly what all that's going to is trying to make you look better than everyone. I mean, we like to think that we're civilized, but we're not different than peacocks or lions with the manes and the tails. Everything we do is just us showboating. That's all any human life is. It's just a continuous series of showboating.
I'm going to, just for the sake of not jumping off a bridge, I'm going to say that we're a little bit more sophisticated than them, but at the end of the day, it's true. We're just animals. We're trying to show off so that we can get attention and somebody will join us in our venture.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's us versus them mentality.
You know, we could reason.
With us or against us.
We could talk and we could understand abstract concepts, but when the root of it is, I'm just trying to show off so that girl would like me. Or,
I got to make that line in the sand. You're either an enemy or a friend. If you do what I do, you're a friend. If you don't, you're an enemy.
And you could observe this behavior tremendously when you go to a club or a bar and you see the pack of guys figuring out how they're going to approach that other pack of girls in the corner.
Did you see A Beautiful Mind?
Yes.
With Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah.
It was so funny to me that his epiphany of game theory came with how him and his friends can successfully get laid at a bar. That blew my mind. This guy it's a beautiful mind to figure out how. And it was just so blatant because, let me explain now because it is kind of a funny story. And it goes exactly what we're talking about, what makes the real man. They were all going for the hot girl in the group. Because in most groups, whether they want to admit it, men and women, there's usually one really hot person and a bunch of people like, you know, those fish that follow sharks.
Yeah.
They want the leave-ins. So all the men, they all want the hot girl of this group of five. And then it's so hilarious because you've seen A Beautiful Mind, they do the thing where the equations fly in his head and like, oh, this is how geniuses view the world, as if. And so all the men, it shows a scenario where all the men go after the beautiful girl and they all fail because they're all crowding her like a bunch of pervs. And then all the women around her, they don't want them anymore because now they know they're the leftovers. And so, oh, that's the failure scenario. Do you remember the scene?
Yeah, I know. I'm imagining that.
So his brilliance was, oh, I know how we get laid. Let's all go after the quote, uglier girls. So the next scenario played out is every guy goes to a different follower girl, ignoring the hot girl, and then they all go off on their own with their own women, and that's how they, quote, win the game.
Yeah, it was incredible.
How did we get onto that? I don't know if that has to go with our point or not, but it was just such a funny scenario to me that mathematics was linked to getting laid.
I guess this is one scenario that will lead to another, or great segue. Real men go after women constantly.
That's true. That's the point of their game.
If
you're not at a bar trying to get laid, why are you at a bar? Real man would be out trying to have sex.
I just want to get a drink because life is... life is
wonderful. That's why. Then you shouldn't go to a club. Then you should just go to a literal bar.
I go to a pub. Now.
You go to a pub for that. Pub. That's where the men go. We play darts.
How about this one?
Uh-oh.
I experienced this in Vegas with a few friends. Hmm. We're in Vegas. We're sitting around by the pool. Waitress comes up and asks us what we'd like to drink. My friends get vodka.
We're going to talk about girly drinks now?
Yeah.
Vodka shots.
And they do all this heavy, heavy stuff. I like heavy liquor, too. I drink thick beers and whiskey. But I was like, you know what? I've never tried a piña colada.
Okay.
Never tried it.
So you tried a piña colada? That's the fruity pineapple one, right?
Yes. And the second I said, I want a piña colada, she said, okay, great. My friend's like, oh, come on. That's a woman's drink.
That's hilarious.
And I raised my hand. I said, excuse the alpha maleism. I'm going to have my pina colada. And it was the best drink.
Yeah, was it?
It was delicious.
I try to stay away from fruity drinks.
Like it was delicious. And I'm like, the taste.
Did you ever see the show Scrubs?
Yeah.
Remember what his signature drink was? The Appletini?
Yeah.
He'd always get an Appletini. He always looked so ashamed of getting it.
But that's a segue into one that's a very, I think, more serious than even the real men. Real women.
Real women. Oh, okay, let's do that.
That's horrible.
Well, first, let me just say, I always liked the vodka shots. I always got picked on for that because I used to get the fruity ones. Like, I get the cherry vodka or the orange vodka.
If it tastes good, drink it.
And I was like, oh, what are you getting the fruity vodkas for? It's like, because it tastes good.
It's...
The root beer one was the best.
It's practical. You like the taste?
Yeah.
Great. Drink it.
All right, so what makes a real woman, Robert? Oh.
Look, I've been around relatives, and I'm thankful that my father and mother were very liberal about this. Mm-hmm. But I've been around some relatives that the real woman's place is in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I've even seen an argument. I've seen one of my relatives, while having a conversation about politics with his friends at the dinner table, upon seeing his wife interject, he says, that's not a woman's place.
Nice.
He says that out loud in front of all of his friends.
Was this like recent?
This was years ago.
Well, yeah, but you're young, so that's recent.
But not like 10 years ago. This was like 5 years ago.
Okay. That's not 1950s.
No. But he says, like, what does a woman know about politics, he said. And I was like, I looked at it. I didn't say anything. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Well,
but
I would have done something about it.
I just accept some people are blocks of wood. What can you do?
Hit them with themselves.
It's not going to change. They're just going to get worse. They're going to have resentment.
Yeah, but it's amusing, though.
But he said that, and I was like, are you serious? You know how many times I've heard a relative curse at their wife, like, hey, go and get this from the kitchen. It's insane.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things. A woman's place is to take care of the man.
Yeah, it's subservient.
Yeah.
Couldn't say that word for a second. To literally be a maid and a cook.
Yeah.
Basically a mother substitute.
Yeah, it's
that you have sex with, which is creepy.
So that's one of the things that people throw out there. Maybe not amongst our generation, I guess, but the generation before us. It's like, wait, what do you mean she's working full time and has a career as a lawyer?
Right. That's my job.
How is she going to raise my boy?
Yeah.
And you're like, doesn't she have autonomy?
Yeah. No,
doesn't she have the right
shouldn't
to go and do whatever
she shouldn't have autonomy. That's the point. A real woman is under the man in more ways than one, right? Like sociologically, politically, physically, they're supposed to be smaller. You know, you wouldn't want to date a woman that's bigger than you type. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The ego thing, what the guys don't want to call a woman their boss.
Yeah.
Because they think, like, that's not right. Mm-hmm. How can a female tell me what to do?
I always feel real bad about that one because I actually did. I've worked for women and for men. And it's just a coincidence, but I hated my female boss.
Well, that doesn't mean it's because...
But I know, but sometimes I go, oh, I don't want to work for a woman again. And what I really mean is like a woman like that again. But, you know, it slips out of me. That's how ingrained it is into
you. I think, no, but that's
And so when I get true. That, when I get that, what's that called? When you only get the evidence that affirms what you already believe. You know what I'm talking about? There's a word for it. Confirmation bias. So that completely happened to me. I had a woman as a boss, and I hated it. Then I had a man as a boss, and he was great. And so it just affirms what was there.
I applaud you for admitting that. That it's a people
what, that I hate my boss.
No. But that some people won't admit that. It's so ingrained within us. Also,
oh well, it's just like the racism.
We'll have the knee jerk reaction.
Yeah,
and then we'll censor it quickly because we want to preserve our intellectuality.
You should say that next time someone asks you, why do you study philosophy? So you can say, so I can know how much of a jerk I am.
Yeah, no, well, I'd say so. I always say so so I know how full of BS I am.
Right.
But that's the thing is the boss complex. They don't want that. And then what is it? Oh, how could you let a woman beat you in that game?
Yeah. Dude, you lost to a girl.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I understand that there's some disparity physically, that in football, like...
Oh, let me tell you, that's all superficial. That doesn't matter.
No, right. No, I know. But if a guy is 400 pounds...
Even between men.
And he hits a girl who's like 120 pounds...
Well, that's a little bit different. That's four times
the size. But they say that... Isn't it the idea that biologically there is some natural mass...
No. I will tell you right now, there is only one difference between men and women.
Okay.
Well, I mean, two, if you consider the organs in either.
Right, right, right.
There's a prostate in a man and a uterus in a woman. That's the only difference. And you can say, well, what about a penis and a vagina? That's literally the same structure. They are the same thing, just one's inside
right,
out.
Right, but physically, in terms of... so you.
Well, that's just a matter of degrees, right? I mean, there are women who are weak and women who are strong.
Right,
there are men
okay.
who are weak. There's the most you could say about a difference between men and women physically is that the strongest man ever was stronger than the strongest woman ever. That's literally the only objective true statement you could make.
So then are you not saying in some sense that physically men...
But as an average?
No. But like that even that... if you got... I know this is hypothetical, but if you got to the extreme example that the strongest man would, for some reason, why would the strongest man beat the strongest woman? Why?
Hormones.
That's
about it.
That's what I'm saying. But when it comes to other things, like how could you let a woman beat you in chess? It has nothing to do with... It's a mental game. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well,
and how did you got hit by a girl?
Women have smaller brains.
It's
that was actual neuroscience for a long time,
yeah,
too.
That's
how
say.
Deep this one goes. It's actually in science. Scientists who are supposed to have the scientific method and be objective and have the evidence. Like, oh, yeah, women's brains are smaller. That's all based on, one, because they are just smaller by nature. Like, they're a little bit shorter and they weigh a bit less. Yeah, their brain actually is a little bit smaller, but there's no correlation between size of a brain and how smart you are. Einstein's brain was actually kind of small. People don't really know that.
Wasn't there also, I know this is...
Also, it was anecdotal evidence, by the way.
Oh, well.
Like, they tested, like, three or four brains. Like, oh,
no. Oh, okay, yeah, that's not even a sample size. But I know this is a bit controversial, but wasn't there a time when people were studying the brains of African Americans and saying
there is
a passive component to the...
Yeah, that was in Django Unchained. Remember when he does... Leonardo DiCaprio does
he
that brilliant speech?
Skull.
God,
yeah,
he's so brilliant, even as a bad guy. And he's like saying, oh, in the back of the skull, there's this bump, and they make some subservient.
Yeah, ridiculous. How
yeah,
did people pass this? But again, about women, what have you heard? What is some of the same things I've heard? I'm assuming.
Well, let me give you a little couple anecdotes because we were talking about sports too. My wife and I did martial arts together.
Right.
You wouldn't believe one how often it happened, and two how pissed off my wife would get when a guy would refuse, not refuse like upset, but like out of quote, I'm doing the air quotes here, concern for my wife that they didn't want to partner with her. That would just drive her up a wall. It's like, well, I don't want to hurt the girl, and like she'd get so pissed, she just want to punch him in the face because she's like the strongest person I know.
And what I've learned from friends who do martial arts is technique.
Technique
is what wins.
Yeah.
If I don't know anything about fighting and this girl has some knowledge of martial arts, they're going to win because they know how to do the takedown.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hurt her. Well, she probably already knows the rules.
Mm-hmm.
She's accepted the consequences. That's why she's standing in the ring waiting for you to come in and to go at it.
There was actually there was one this year. A wrestling team didn't want to have a gay on their wrestler. A gay. Listen to me. And I think there was a couple years before a guy. What? Why is that so funny?
It's just the way you said it and you, like, listen to me.
Anyways, I think it was a couple years before, kind of the same thing, but it wasn't a disgust thing. It was a concern thing. There's a really thin line between concern and disgust. Another wrestling team, he didn't want to wrestle. This was like high school, by the way. He didn't want to wrestle a girl. Out of concern, everyone applauded him in the community. Oh, he's such a gentle young man! Yay! You know, looking out for the girl. And the girl was pissed off, of course. What do you mean? I've been fighting my way to get to this championship.
Right.
Get in the damn mat. I want to show
you
how good I am.
She has the right to do that. They should go at it.
And that's where the term paternalism comes from.
Yeah.
That's why is that funny?
You have such great comedic timing.
Okay.
That, like your face. If you guys could only see the face that he makes when he says,
it's
like he's going to set
show?
Up. Yes, we should.
Okay.
He's going to set up a joke.
Uh-huh.
So it always seems like, oh, here we go. And then he's like, no, I'm just being serious. I'm just being very serious. Right. But also with women.
What were we talking about? Paternalism.
Paternalism.
Look at you're making me have my stutter back. Stop praising me. You make me slam.
Oh,
so
look, he's blushing.
I'm blushing.
Oh,
now.
Look at that. Like
blushing.
A tomato.
I'm going to punch you in your face.
When the show ends.
I'll show you what a real man is.
I'm going to run because that was the strength that I was given. Run fast. That was the evolutionary thing that was given to me. So
that's okay. I could throw something.
But what else with women? Cooking.
Paternalism.
Okay, fine. Go into it.
That's what encompasses both what makes a real man and a real woman is paternalism, is that the man takes care of the woman. Therefore, the man, a real man, is a provider, has a job, and the real woman stays at home and cooks. So that's what I was trying to say as the linchpin of the two arguments before the sexes. It's paternalism. That's what makes what a real man and what a real... That's what determines it. It's buying into that overreaching
buying
idea.
Into it.
Buying into it.
You're not saying it...
That it exists?
You're saying people convince themselves that this exists.
Well, trees don't convince me of it.
Right. No, but people... This is a construct.
Everything's a
construct. Yeah, no, but people
except martial arts. That's objective.
Yeah, this isn't... You're not advocating this. You're saying that this happens... Why, people are like, oh, she's supposed to... I'm supposed to take care of her.
We think if I advocate, I'll be a real man? Because maybe I should.
I don't know. You want to give it a shot? But...
All right, what were you saying? Get on with it. No, I
you made me lose my train of thought.
Maybe we should just get on to American, because we're running out of time.
Okay,
anyway.
Go for it.
What makes a real American? And this one's actually tied in real, too, because paternalism is such an ingrained concept in America, whether it's racism, because that's how blacks were treated with paternalism, is that we had to take care of them. That's why they're slaves, because they want to be slaves, because like Leonardo DiCaprio said, right? Same thing with the women. We have to take care of the women, because they can't take care of themselves. So this paternalism that's been in our culture for 250 years has made what is a real American. A real American is male, white, with a job, so middle-aged preferably, with wealth.
Yeah.
And Republican probably. I'm sure that's what all they would. I'm sure that's
religious,
what they
would you say?
Oh, religious.
Yeah, religious.
And,
that
and
has
a believer.
To be
in... And a believer. So that's what a real American is. That's what a real American is. It stems into all the other ones. You know, and of course they like football. And of course they like the right music.
Baseball,
of the time.
Football, yep.
Yeah, that's what makes it. A real American is an amalgamation of all the other reals.
And a real American drinks only American beer, not those imports from Germany.
If it's Yingling in Boston, Samuel Adams Boston Lager, then yes, that's true.
Boston Lager.
Yeah, Boston Lager.
Boston Lager.
Boston on the Boulevard.
No, but that, yeah, that goes in there.
I was just this on the side because we were just watching The Price is Right the other day. And we were watching, and you know they're going through the showcase at the end where they just start showing the different prides building up. One was a Mazda car. I was like, oh, I wish I was in this guy just so they could see my reaction. Like, and a brand new Mazda. We're like, oh, God, that sucks.
Oh.
And then they say, and then you can drive it to Boston. And like they have a hotel in Boston. I went, oh, God, kill me.
Oh.
You couldn't pay me to go to
luxury.
Boston. Oh, yeah, I'm going to Boston. Yay. In the dead of winter. Can't wait. With a Mazda. Woo.
How wonderful.
What's your bid? I don't know. Give me $100 and I'll take it.
I didn't even realize that they. That's great. That you. There's a trip to America, right. Within the country. Thank you.
All right. So, anyway, what makes a real American? Obviously, not a Bostonian. No one likes Boston. That's being in. Of course, New Yorkers don't like Boston or Chicago. So, a real American is white, male, wealthy, a respectable job, religious, listens to the right music, drinks the right. What's a real beer? We didn't go over that. We all know that it's Newcastle. But moving on from that,
okay.
Right away,
so. Disagreement there. But a real American must always fight for their country.
Right.
Or support that
support
effort.
Support the troops. Oh my God, support the troops. How many times have we heard that? No matter what the scenario. Hey, our troops just killed a whole innocent dinner party for pregnant women. Oh, support the troops.
Right, but I. But James, I have friends who have served in almost every Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. I want to ask these people, not the soldiers, but the people who say that's a real American. Have you ever talked to a Marine?
Yeah.
Have you ever asked them how they actually felt?
No, it's not good. Like,
no, it's not. It's not.
They're traumatized.
They're traumatized,
and they're being used.
You
as
have no
points.
Idea what you're talking about because you don't ask these people. You like the idea of it, but you've never talked to. Even people who served back in the day in those other in World War II or Vietnam will look at you like it's not something that it's like, oh yeah, it was a great time. No, it wasn't a great time.
Yeah.
So
that was real America back in the 50s and 60s. That was the real America. Now we're corrupt.
Yeah, a real American they recently a real American wouldn't vote for Obama. They would say.
Oh, right. Real America wouldn't protest banks, you know.
Yeah.
Those aren't real Americans. Those are potheads and
you guys
and women
know what you're talking about? Have
minorities.
You ever read
minorities aren't real Americans.
Yeah, they'll say that.
Yeah.
They'll say somebody who...
Speak American.
Who came over the border 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not a real American.
Why do I got to press 2 for English? Speak American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But that's what... There you go.
There was a great... You ever see 30 Rock?
Yeah.
It's a great episode where Jack, played by Alec Baldwin, takes Tina Fey down to the South... to get a comedian for their show, because they run a TV show, they run a comedy show, that's the premise of the show. And so yeah, it's a show and a show. So Alec Baldwin has this idea that he needs a real American on the show because they just have liberal elite New Yorkers on the show. And like, oh, we're doing bad in these Democrats. We need a real American. And Tina Fey, the whole episode, saying, there's no such thing as real America, Jack. And they go down to the South where they find, it was actually Jeff Dunham is the guy with the puppets, right? You know the comedian I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I think it's Jeff Dunham, right? He actually plays the comedian he's trying to recruit for the show. Says, now this is, they're in a bar and he's doing his skit. And you know his skit. He talks about, you know, terrorism, being America, being in the South. He talks about those general things. Nothing too that racy, but it's sometimes racy. But it's not racy on the show. It's NBC. And so Alec Baldwin's going, yes, see, Tina, this is what... actually, it's her Liz's name is Liz in the show. So she's saying, Liz, this is exactly what we need for the show. A real American. And they're eating all the Southern, quote, Southern foods. And he's really getting into it. And then at the end of the show, the entire audience completely turns on him because he finds out from New York. And they start screaming at him and yelling at him and being rude. He's like, why are you guys being mean to me and rude to me? You're acting like New Yorkers. Because they're so rude and arrogant and in his face.
And I just thinking about that.
And then Liz was like, there you go, Jack. That's your real America. Everyone is arrogant and rude and in your
that's
face.
That's it, right there. That's
America.
But that what you just said, have you ever seen Wag the Dog?
Yeah, long time
yeah,
ago.
They did, when they're trying to create the war hero, yeah. War hero for, you know, for everybody to jump on board with, they do this, they make a song about, I think, Shoeless Joe, or Joe and his old shoe. And just the way they're describing what that real American is and how it would immediately sell,
it's
incredible.
Because that's exactly happened, didn't it, with Joe the Plumber?
Yeah, there you go.
Joe the Plumber is Joe a real American because he's all against Obama, against unions. Oh, wait, what is that? He has a union job now because he's apparently a half celebrity and people still know about him?
Yeah, it's... Yeah. But there you go. That's
a real American. And a real American doesn't like math and that book learning. What are we doing? We're philosophy students at a college? We're not real Americans? Jeez, come on, man.
So, a real American didn't study engineering to build
New York,
all those
build
things.
The country. Yeah. New York was built by non-Americans, apparently. No engineers, no smart book learnings. Benjamin Franklin, he was a Frenchie.
I'm sure somebody who doesn't like that will still hold. Will be like, yeah, I didn't like that Franklin guy. Really?
A real American also doesn't know any American history. So that's
yeah,
good.
That's what we're realizing now.
Yeah.
What else is on that list of you? That wonderful list.
We had food on there, but we only we have 1 minute, I think, 2 minutes. So what's the real food? We all know it's Italian. So the case is over there, right?
You know what?
What?
I love Italian food, mm-hmm. And I love Southern food, and you know it's I
Southern isn't like so,
well
like the South of America, the, not South America. But
no,
you know
no, yeah, like how they cook in Louisiana.
Creole,
my friend, yeah, my friend's from there and
Louisiana. What did we rename them? I think we left them Louisiana.
But yeah, we let them be their own state.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we did.
That's right.
But
we were so kind.
But yeah, I mean, I know I'm Armenian, but you know,
you're Armenian.
Yeah,
you're not real American.
No.
Get out of my booth. I'm Italian-American. That is the real America. Just ask Jimmy Hoffa.
No, but I get tired of eating my own food, so I just I love Italian. I love Mexican food, and I love the Southern cooking.
My point on food, though, is that, quote, real food has nothing to do with what is better or not.
Right.
It can be. Some people can be that arrogant. But most of the time, what is, quote, real food is what you were brought up on. Like,
yeah,
what you were fed
it.
As a kid. Like, when I took this quiz, so what ethnic food do you like the best? And Italian was on the list. I was like, why is Italian food on a list of ethnic foods? That's not ethnic. It's food. Because I am Italian. I grew up on Italian food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How can it be ethnic to me?
Yeah. It's like an accent. Literally every human being on the planet has an accent.
Yeah, we do.
But no one has an accent to themselves. You know what
no.
I mean?
New Yorkers same think thing. We have an accent.
Right.
People from Texas think we have an accent.
You do have an accent.
Yeah, I do.
You sound like a bunch of liberal fruits. Nuts. That's what California is, right? That's why California is a granola bar.
That's what
fruits,
some people will say that about us. Like, oh, you're from California. I don't trust you. Really?
Yeah, exactly. Because of that voice. Jeez, get on with it. But, oh, no, they're right, though. New Yorkers do speak better because we speak faster.
Oh, well, yeah.
We get to the, point.
It.
You gotta go. All right, we're running out of time.
We're on a New York Minute now.
We're on a New York Minute? Don't make me sing. So thank you for listening. Thanks for – you've been a real audience today, and I mean that in the best way because you're better than every other audience, just like we were saying.
You're a real audience.
Real audience. Real. And we've been a
and
real
James
real
is a
show.
Real host.
We've been real hosts on a real show. Nick's been a real producer for us. Thanks for listening. Catch us next week on kpcradio.com. I'm James.
I'm Robert.
Thanks a lot.